did you see Skip Bayless's tweet about Christian?
Oh, Lord. Who is Skip Bayless, first off?
Welcome to Your Mom.
Your Mom Podcast.
Your Mom's Podcast.
This isn't any podcast. This is your mother's podcast.
My mom's podcast.
Ah, dude, she's your mom.
With Ashley Addison and Lisa McCaffrey.
Your mom is a podcast.
Shut up, dude.
We have two microphones that are working, and we are together by the power of the internet. Lisa McCaffrey, Ashley Adamson, back for another exciting edition of Your Mom. Welcome to all of our new listeners. Cheryl Bosa, that blew up last week, Lisa.
That was fun. Yeah, that was a blast.
She was incredible. She was incredible.
Love her.
So if you're just finding us for the first time, glad to have you here. For those who may not know, I work at the Pac-12 Network. I've been in sports broadcasting for about 15 years, and I have two kids, 6 and 3, who one of them told me the other day that I'm never around because I'm always on a podcast. So
no way.
I'm doing a great job, Collins. He said, Good. Mom, you're never with us. And I said, what do you mean? I'm here right now making you breakfast for the however many hundredth day in a row.
And it's never said,
enough. You're always on
a
podcast.
You're always on.
You started a podcast to try and be good at parenting, and it turns out maybe it's doing the opposite, but hopefully it's helping somebody, because I don't think it's helping my kids.
Hopefully it'll make you a lot of money, and then you can pass that down to them and they can get therapy.
Yeah, because that's why you start podcasts, is to make money. They're huge money-making
exactly.
business.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Game-changing.
My favorite comment, by the way, and then we'll get to your large introduction, and you can introduce yourself to the masses, even though you're a media star now and everyone knows who you are.
Oh, gosh.
But we got a comment on our YouTube channel on the Bosa interview. I think it was from like Hey Guy 69 or something really good. And he said, this is the podcast I never, ever wanted, but now desperately need. So
thank
I'm glad.
You. User 99969 is probably Gronk.
It's probably Gronk. thanks for listening, Gronk.
Yes.
Lisa, you really, I feel like you may be the most famous McCaffrey these days everywhere. You're everywhere.
I swear with every yard Christian gets, I become a better athlete than I ever was.
I think that is true. Like for every yard or touchdown you score, like another goal at Stanford.
Like, wow. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. He's even like larger than like, no. Yeah.
You know what?
Thanks, Christian. Whatever. Hey, I'll go.
That's why you have kids, right? Exactly. To make yourself feel good. That's the only reason I did.
Oh, or to make yourself feel awful. Four.
Yeah. Oh, four. Dumb. Four boys, all who play and coach football. Let's not belabor the point here. Most famous of which, Christian McCaffrey, who's playing in the playoffs on Sunday. So how are your nerves? Before we get into what this episode is, how are your nerves?
Yeah, more important. I'm so nervous. I don't even know what day it is, but I am so nervous. I'll be honest with you. Nervous. That's all.
Yeah.
Usual. But if I wasn't, it's a good nervous. You texted me one day. You're like, you should appreciate that you're nervous at this stage of the game. And you're right.
It's lucky to have that
pressure.
This time of year. Yep. It is.
I appreciate it. I will welcome it and own it. And I will run very hard this week to get my nerves out. Hopefully I'll be really
skinny. Have you figured out, because when we first started this podcast, we were going to try and figure out some different things to help you with the nerves. Has it gotten any better?
It's actually gotten a little worse. So it was better at the beginning. And it's gotten a little, the minute I kind of relax, that was when bam, he gets traded. Bam, they keep winning and then the pressure kind of builds, but it's good pressure. You know, pressure makes a diamond, huh?
Pressure makes a diamond. Amen to that. And pressure is a privilege. All of those cliches are true. Do you know what I'm excited about for this episode?
No, I don't. Carried your mind.
I thought you were in my brain.
Sorry.
It's our first mailbag episode.
Oh, mailbag. Mailbag. Not M-A-L-E bag. That's another episode.
Whatever you want it to be. If you want it to be a mailbag or a mail bag,
where's
whatever.
That user 969? Where's that guy?
Yeah, he was the one that gave us the idea.
Reach him out of the mailbag. M-A-L-E bag.
Shout out to my friend Guy Haberman, who has a very successful podcast in his own right. And as a colleague of mine at the Pac-12, he said that they've started doing mailbags and it's a great way to engage with people. So I put out what questions do you have? And we actually got a ton back and some that are really poignant, some that are a little weird that I probably won't read, or maybe we'll do an underground mailbag episode.
Yeah.
But this one we're going to keep nervous. Mostly PG.
Good. No math questions. No math.
So should we just get right into this? And thank you everyone who submitted.
Yeah. Thanks for responding first and foremost. Yeah.
I know it's awesome. And again, these are really good questions that I think most of them are directed to both of us. Some directed directly to you. So let's start with CMC Superfan. If either of you have a funny story about Christian that you'd like to share, I would love to hear it. I'm assuming you have no funny stories about Christian.
None. Who are you talking about? Let's see. Goodness.
Reach into that bag and pull out a funny story.
Well, this is I know he said this is one of his most embarrassing moments in his life.
Yes.
I'll tell it because, hey, this will be a test to see if he listens too, because you know he'll give me a call and be like, what the hell did you just tell? So it was his senior year of high school, and there was a big awards ceremony at the end of the year, and I think he might have been the only one at that year that played three sports and, you know, did pretty well in all of them. So there was a big award at the end. I guess it's like male athlete of the award at school award. And there was, I forget, like four or five people that were up for it. Well, he didn't like understand the layout of the banquet, you know, the big banquet. So they started off with, they were giving a bio on each of the nominees throughout the presentation of all these awards. And at the very end, they were going to bring them all up and give the award out, like all the people that were up for the award.
Numbnuts
over there, here's his bio early on. And as they're reading off his bio, he stands up and walks all, nobody stopped him, mind you, walks, you know, through the crowd, like moving people away, and then walks all the way up on stage and like stands behind the presenter. Because he thought they were supposed to go. They thought they were giving the award out at the beginning of the thing.
Were you there? Were you watching this?
Oh, we were all there. We were all there and we're all like, wait, this is awkward. Because they moved on and they didn't read any of the other bios. They moved on to the first award. They did just did his, they opened up with his bio.
So did he stand up there the whole time?
Stage. No, they didn't tell him right away. Because I think even the people there didn't quite know what to do. Everybody was confused. All of a sudden, I think it dawned on him, like, wait a minute, I shouldn't be up here. Somebody went up and whispered in his ear, and then he turned beet red and had to walk, which I know you've done many times in college, but his was a little different. Walked off the stage and walked all the way back to his seat and sat down.
Oh, Lord, my heart.
Poor little guy. Oh, I felt
so bad. Did you boo him?
No, people were heckling him. It was actually kind of funny because by then he's a senior and, you know, you just kind of know.
And he's Christian McCaffrey.
It was funny.
That's a great story.
Very, very, very embarrassing.
That is a great story. And you know what? And that doesn't happen to people who don't get a bunch of awards. So.
Oh, well, yeah. Calm down.
That's a good one.
He didn't get the Heisman. He didn't win. Remember?
He did not. Yeah, I was there. I know. But in my heart, he did. Number one, my heart.
He didn't make the Pro Bowl either this year.
Yeah. Does that bother you? Because it seems super annoying. But
whatever.
Does it matter? I mean, I guess. I don't know. Does it matter? It does matter. Obviously, it matters. But.
Well, yeah. It matters. Like in the future, when you look back on your career, and Ed realizes that being a retired player, it's like, oh, that's kind of a bummer that he didn't make it. When you kind of. I mean, I don't know. I'm the mom. So my goodness, I'm biased. And I just thought that just based on stats alone, he probably should have made it. And absolutely should have made it. But, and he also won the fan vote by 50,000, but who's counting? Who's tallying?
Obviously somebody isn't. Because
somebody is, or someone's not.
Somebody's anyway, math is not right. Somebody let, you know, one of my classmates.
But I'm not bitter or anything.
Math. Yeah, no, you clearly handling bastards. It very well. But I think that's a good point.
Against the wall real quick. Hold on. Yeah. I'm handling it very well.
Just turn your mic off and scream as loud as you can. Whenever I'm looking up to do a bio or I'm introducing somebody, it's the first thing I do is how many Pro Bowls or if there's a Super Bowl ring or whatever. So I'm hoping that I'll have a Super Bowl ring and then Pro Bowl won't matter.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Okay, that was a great answer. All right, anyway. Next one, KS Blind. How much harder emotionally was being a mom than you thought it was going to be?
You go first since I just answered.
I would say because everybody freaks you out so bad. I mean, I just remember being pregnant and people being like, you have no idea.
Yeah.
You have no idea what's coming.
And I say that now. I say it too. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to shut my mouth. So
I know, because it doesn't, you're kind of like, I know that. And I understand that I've never done this before.
Right.
I think the thing that I wasn't ready for, and it's not that I wasn't ready. Like I knew I was going to totally love this child and have like crazy, you know, mama bear feelings towards any of my kids. But I think the thing that I wasn't emotionally prepared for, honestly, was when I had Collins, when I had my first child, just holding him, like I just couldn't believe, I was overwhelmed. There's no words to describe what it was like to like hold your baby for your first one, especially for the very first time.
Right.
And it's, you've thought about it so much, you've won it, you've prayed for it, you've all of these things. And then all of a sudden it is real. And when you are lucky enough to hold a healthy baby in your arms for the first time, it was, you know, you love, and I have told Chris this many times, I think I've said this on the podcast, I love Chris deeply with my whole heart and soul. There is love that is a different type when you have a child. It blows any other love that you've ever experienced out of the water. And I think it made me understand my parents. You know, I felt like I started feeling differently about my mom and dad, because you're like, oh man, you really love me this much. Like, now I get it.
Right.
You weren't trying to ruin my life, actually. You just wanted what was best for me. So I think that was a thing that like, just that moment of just emotional, like, holy cow, I knew this was coming and here it is. And all of a sudden I'm experiencing an emotion that I never felt. I will also add that I don't think I was quite emotionally prepared for how much you just feel deeply everything that they feel. Like I can tell when my son feels embarrassed or you know, like unsure or is upset. And same with my daughter. And it's hard. It's harder than I thought it was going to be. Cause they need to experience all those emotions. That's part of life.
Right.
And growing
but
up
you want to
the
fix them as naturally as a mother. You want to like fix it immediately. And you want them to always to be happy, and they're not going to be. So.
They're not.
Yeah. Piggybacking off that, I literally, if I call one of the kids, like I call Luke at college, and I can tell in the first 3 seconds if what mood he's in immediately. If something's wrong, if something's bothering him, you can hear it in their voice. Like the second he picks up the phone, I can tell. I can tell if it's just, oh, he's just tired, or, you know, if he's happy. You could just tell. It's so funny.
You can read them, each of them, even on the read in their voice.
It's like a weird thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Was it harder than you thought being a mom was going to be? I mean, I was 20. An old lady when I had kids. You were young and spry.
I was young and naive. I'll say that. That's for sure. But same thing though. I mean, you prepare and, you know, you're pregnant for 9 months and you're just so eagerly awaiting. And then they come out. You can't describe to anybody the bond you feel with that little person the minute they come out. It's like nothing you'll ever experience in your life. And even though my kids are older, it definitely changes a little bit, but you always have that bond with them and you always will. It's almost like you're attached somehow. And they say when the babies are in the womb, your nutrients or whatever fixes any ailment that they have. And if you have something wrong with you, like if there's a slight tumor growing or even a sickness, they feed off that and they cure you. Like their stem cells are released and cure you. I mean, they've done studies on it. And I know it really is. You don't even realize it happening. And I mean, there's a bond that will never, ever, ever go away. And you don't realize how much and how deep you can love someone, and you just want the best for them. But you're going to screw them up too.
Yeah.
I mean, at least mine.
That's part of it too.
But you try so hard because you do. There's such a bond. And I mean, gosh, this is so awful, but like you've seen those stories of those moms that like have like actually hurt their kids or tortured them. And I can't relate to that. I think I'm fascinated by that because I don't understand that, because the bond you feel, all you want to do is protect this little baby that came out of you, basically.
Yeah, I think that's the reality around postpartum depression. And obviously there's a lot more, and we are not qualified to talk about a lot of those things, but I have had some friends who have gone through some severe postpartum depression, and that is really real. And so I would say for anyone listening to this who didn't feel that immediate bond with their baby, or who it took time. Yeah. That is completely
I felt a bond, but I
too.
Will say I was yeah. a little depressed for sure, but I was more depressed about myself, not yeah. about the baby. I was proud. I was excited and there was a bond, but I remember just, you know, myself, I wasn't myself. And I was slowly losing myself to this kid is kind of how I felt. And you lose yourself, you know, embodiment and you become a mom.
I think that is perfectly said. Yes.
And it
feels like I remember thinking just it's never going to be the same, which of course,
right.
in all the amazing ways, but forever yeah. in the, you know, the old saying about just it's when you have a child, your heart is now walking around outside your body. Like it's true. But you do, you become your purpose changes and
yeah.
it is a totally Switch. Different and it's different for dads. I will just say, I think it's there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's just different.
So
they didn't carry
the
baby.
Giants
yeah.
way back when I had Max. And I remember Howard Cross, the tight end, had a wedding and we got invited to the wedding. And I had just had Max, so I couldn't go. Literally just, I think he was like, I just got home from the hospital. And Ed went because it was his teammate. And I remember I don't think I've ever been more depressed in my life. I remember just sitting there with Max, just bawling, crying. I had mastitis too, you know, breast infection. It was awful.
Yeah.
So I mean, that piggybacked off of it. But I remember feeling so low about myself, like just, oh my gosh. And you think like the walls are closing in, like it's never going to get better. It's never going to, but it does just,
it does.
You know that. But I just remember being like, oh my gosh, I'll never get to go out again. You know, I have this anchor that's just anchoring me down as much as I love them. Like I'll never be able to do anything again, but
it's
you
a
do.
Lot of, I mean, that's the
yes.
thing. It's like emotions on both sides that are huge and your hormones are spiking all over the place. And like, and you're sleep deprived too. I mean,
oh my gosh. Yeah. And I had that infection. I was sleep deprived. Yeah. Max was the worst sleeper. Stupid Brett.
Oh God. Yeah.
He's just a
that
bad
was,
kid.
I guess that leads me to this next one, which
is no math.
Abby White 06. This one's for Lisa. At the moment, which McCaffrey boy is your favorite child?
Oh goodness. That's a great question. Let's see. I'll just do the favorite. Cause I don't know. Gosh, who is my favorite? Maybe Dylan right now.
Okay.
Because he called this morning and we had...
Perfect. Way to go, Dylan.
Way to go, Dylan. You rock. Yeah, he was asking me about me, which is unusual. Like,
see,
normally they're like very
tough. That
yeah,
is...
he's like, and it was genuine care and concern. He was like super cute. So, Dylan.
I gave Chris
And it's
a
not
hard time.
That I don't love all of them and
yeah,
love
of course
all of them.
You
and
do.
It'll change tomorrow.
And it'll change
different.
Later today. Yeah, of course. Chris and I used to give him a hard time all the time. And we've laughed about it a lot, but I would hear him when we first started dating, be on the phone with his mom. And I'm like, the reason that she's asking you all these questions that you were annoyed by is because you are not asking her any questions about her life and her and to see how she's doing.
Right.
And if you,
she's
I told him that I banned the word, he was not allowed to say the word indeed when he was talking to his mom on the phone. So that is the most dismissive indeed. Indeed.
Indeed. I was just wow, like, that's so formal. Gosh.
It's so formal. I know.
Goodness.
So, and Chris's mom is the best and they have a great relationship and he loves her.
I met her. She is darling.
Yeah, you met Pam.
He's got
she's
great
the best.
Parents. Yes. Yeah.
I know. He really does. So, but I just, and he's, but I think you kind of have to tell, it's not innately in people. So
yeah.
if you're listening to this and
yeah.
you don't feel like you enjoy talking to your mom on the phone, ask her some questions. That's the key.
Yeah.
Just ask her some questions and let her go. Yeah. Okay. If you, Reagan J. Thompson, if you could give your younger self advice, what would it be? I'm gonna let you go first.
I would absolutely tell my younger self not to be scared, to be braver.
That
Bam.
Is
Done.
Awesome.
Not to be scared of everything.
Yeah.
And try and go for it.
I love that.
That's it. Yeah, it's okay. And it's okay to fail. I was so afraid to fail. I was such a perfectionist. I have to say it was awful.
When did that, do you feel like there was a moment that you were able to
let go of that,
get over that or let go of that? Yeah. Cause you never fully do, right?
But yeah, you know, I hear there's always like, you want things to go well, but I think when you have four kids, you have to let all of it go. So
yeah,
definitely have to let it go. Cause it's never going to be perfect.
You're
and it's like we always talk about, it's messy and you just embrace the mess and you know, it's an imperfect life, messy, and it's beautiful though at the same time.
Yeah. That's a perfect answer. Okay. I should go first now because I feel like I don't want to follow you anymore because yours are so good.
Oh,
I would say that my advice to my younger self would be that it was going to be okay. I am not an anxious person. I feel like I am pretty even keeled, but I think back to my 20s, and I'm sure everybody was this, but I just, you don't know how it's going to turn out. And yeah,
20, I have to say now having 20-year-olds, I think 20-year-olds are probably one of the hardest time in life.
It's so hard.
You just finished college or, you know, your education, whatever, usually, and you're trying to figure out life. But I mean, looking back, I wish I saw it in a more positive way. I was so, like you, I was so stressed out, worrying, like, I've got to get a job. I've got to do this. I got to do all these things. I wish I would have just been a little bit calmer and embraced it and waited for a better job or waited for this. And I try to tell my kids that right now, because there's some of them that are in that phase. And you're like, you guys, what a beautiful time. You have the world by the balls, I tell them.
There is so much unfolding that is going to happen. And you can't speed the path up. The best analogy I heard the other day was someone was saying, you can't be an angry farmer. You can't like come out here and water all your plants and be like, grow, like make it happen. And so it's about
funny. That's a good analogy.
Planting the seeds. Yeah. I think it was a Chris Peterson.
Nurturing the seeds. Yeah. Nurturing the soil,
and just
getting
allowing
sun,
it to
grow,
develop and grow. And there will be so
like
many
our
twists
podcast,
and turns. Exactly.
Kinda, like our podcast.
Yes. And I remember when we started our YouTube channel and I'm like, I mean, we have zero subscribers. Like there's who is ever going to find this? And people are finding it. So
and now
you.
We have Gronk listening.
And now we have Gronk commenting about how this is the best podcast he's ever listened to. And he needs it.
How he didn't know he needed it, but now he needs it. Thanks.
Love you, Gronk. But yeah, MC, I do. MC, I think I tell young people all the time, because I talk to a lot of young aspiring sports broadcasters. And that is the one thing I said, I wish someone could have told me right when I got out of college and I was a mess. Because your whole life is so structured up to that point.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're just like looking around and everyone's like, well, you're an adult now. Go on with
your
job,
life. Do this,
get
do
a
this.
Job.
Yeah, exactly.
And start, you know, all those things of the expectations.
And I remember thinking, I've always felt like everybody else has it so together. Like, oh my gosh, they're so driven. They have this. They know exactly their trajectory of their
Nobody
life. And
does.
You know what? No one does. And no they don't. Does. And they didn't. And I wish I had realized that at the time. I always felt like I was always behind. Like I was missing the boat somehow. And they all had it together and I didn't. So I just wish I had whatever.
Now everyone, now I look at you and I'm like, God, you're so annoying. You've got it all together and you just are so perfect. And like, but
who, me?
Does.
Oh God, no. Oh, I wish. Yeah. And but I still do that with people.
Everybody on the outside think, you know what I mean? I think that's what has been so awesome about this podcast, is being able to talk to moms of people who you think from the outside, you're like, oh my God,
they
must have done
kids.
It perfectly.
No one does. Yeah. And different styles. Everybody has done it different.
Yeah.
Which is great. It shows that there's not one way to do this.
Here's another great question that kind of goes along with that. Amelia, yeah, girl, what do you think your life would look like if you never had kids?
Wow. It's hard to imagine. I think I would probably be maybe a monk or president. I don't know.
Those are the only two paths. Clearly.
Right.
That would have
That's it. I know. Oh, wow. I'm kidding. That's really, really hard to imagine. I don't know. What would you, you'd be a,
I would be your VP, but then we'd have a podcast called, you know, your White House,
your president,
which would probably be pretty good.
Your White House. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we'd make a great, I'm willing to run if you are, but I think I'd be a better VP. I think you would make a great president.
Because you're like mindlessly want to sit back and do nothing.
Exactly. I just want to like, you know,
I don't even
get
know
my
VPs
hair done.
Do. I'm not insulting anyone. I'm not.
No, but I do. Yeah. I think if you want to run, I'm in, is what I'm saying.
I think moms in particular, but women in particular, would do an incredible job. They would rule the world if they stopped competing with each other.
Amen.
And pumped each other up and supported each other. I've always thought that.
There was something that happened the other day, and a very good friend of mine who is a high-powered woman, she said, women still have trouble supporting each other.
Yeah.
And not all women, but it does. I think it's the man holding everybody down. It's a lot of times it's women holding each other back because they feel like there's only so many seats at the table.
Right.
And so there becomes this competition, but raise everybody up, bring them all,
exactly,
bring everybody.
Exactly.
That's
it can only help you. It can only help the world. I'm telling you.
I'm with you. I
you
think especially
run?
I, I'm asked this a lot because they're like, well, why do you want to help all these people? And I'm like, I want her to replace me. I don't want to be in this job forever. I would love for her to come take this job. Like nothing. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole,
I have so many people. So we can do this full time.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I don't want anyone to take this job, just to be clear.
My goal is to get you fired. Remember I said that day one.
I know you're doing a decent job. You're laying the groundwork. Okay. This is another good one. Would you ever take mushrooms with your son?
My goodness. I don't think I would with my son.
Okay.
No. Would you ever take them, period?
Would I or have I? Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. And we should go back. If you haven't listened to the interview with Jake Plummer's mom and you want to hear some takes on mushrooms, go find that episode because she was amazing. Still one of my favorite moments on this podcast in the 6 months we've done it was when we asked her for her best story of her best trip. When we were talking about mushrooms and she started describing a camping trip when Jake was little and they went fishing and we're like, wait, so were you tripping your balls off when
mushrooms? That's kind of negligent. Yeah. Like,
but it was good. We came back to it and got clarity on the actual, which was skiing, I guess, was her best time having a trip. Anyway. I would not eat mushrooms with my 6-year-old son for sure. But I'll come back to this.
But what about
question.
Cora? You would do it with Cora for sure.
I mean, she eats mushrooms already.
She's probably doing them right now in preschool.
Preschool, yep. 100%. That's why we pay so much for her to go. So she gets all those good life lessons. Okay, these two are kind of connected. And these are all great. Again, thank you everybody who wrote in. So I'll read both of these. Sunlight says, advice for moms on how to prepare for when sons start dating and mom is no longer number one. And C.S. Grawmeyer says, how do you adjust to kids leaving the nest and finding significant others? Which, again, my kids are 6 and 3, so I'm going to let you handle this one.
Oh, gosh. I really, once again, I don't feel like it's like a competition. Like they're... like you're going to like, I'll always be their mom. I'll be their number one mom. I don't want to be the girlfriend. Like I remember when they started dating, I was so excited that somebody liked them like that. I'm like, I was like, cherish that. I'm like, oh my gosh, somebody really like, they sees the value in them that I see in them. That's so neat. And, you know, I'm a little different because I have all boys. So I'm always excited when they bring a girl home. I'm like, oh, let's go. I don't know, we'll put masks on our face and have a pillow fight and paint and draw and craft and color. So I get super excited. I don't know. I don't look at it like that. I look at it as like a blessing. Like they're bringing, you know, you have an potential addition to your family. You're expanding your family. And, they love that person and hopefully that person loves them, but they obviously something incredible in them. And even if like, I don't know, I've never really had it that I've like fought with any of their girlfriends or significant others. So it hasn't been that challenging. I actually embrace it and I love it. And that's why I feel like I raise my kids to hopefully be good men, good husbands, good human beings, and they treat women correctly. And that I'm proud of that. If they find somebody that appreciates that in them, I think that's, I feel like, oh, wow, I pat myself on the back that I've done my job and hopefully I can love their girlfriend and hopefully potential wife just as much as they do. So
That's a great answer. It's you touch on something that Sonia Curry said that still sticks out to me from that episode when we asked her what's of all the things that Steph Curry has done that have been incredible, what are you most proud of him for? And there's a million things she could have said, right? Not non-basketball MVP, that she could have said.
Right.
Yeah, he's done so much for the community. And she said, I think the thing that I feel the most proud about is how he treats Aisha, his wife. And that just totally stuck with me because I think, again, as a mom, you feel like, okay, I did something that allowed my child to understand the value of relationships of, you know, when you're talking about a son, women and mothers. And I thought, I don't know. I absolutely love that answer. So
yeah, that was great.
Okay. Great answer. All right. This is a good one. Sarah Cazell, are you happy with the life path that you took? Do you ever wish that you did or tried something else? I'll go first. Think about it. I am really happy and grateful. And people always ask me, if you knew what you know now, would you go back and do it all over again in terms of the career path that I took to get into sports broadcasting? And my honest answer is, I don't know. I mean, maybe because I can't imagine doing anything else. And I feel so grateful for what I've been able to do. But there were some really dark years and nights and moments. And I missed out on weddings and relationships and friendships and all of these things that when you're in your 20s and 30s that everyone is getting to go do and you can't because A, you're not making any money and B, you're moving all over the place and living in random cities by yourself and just constantly trying to make friends and figure things out. It was hard. It was really hard. So I am really grateful to my younger self that I did all of that, but I don't know if I could go back and do it all again, like knowing how long the path is and knowing what I know now. So the answer, would am I happy with the life path I took? Yeah. Yes.
But would you have gotten your fucked up eye fixed though? Remember when that guy told you to get your eye fixed?
I'm so glad you brought that up. Yeah. I had an agent one time tell me that he thought that I might make it in this business if I could get my, my eye was too distracting. So yeah, if you can, I'll look right in, everyone can see it. This one's
what I still have yet to see what's wrong with your eyes. I'm like, you're beautiful.
It's a thing. Down, and buddy. He said, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. So anyway, I'll send him this clip and say, well, I started a podcast with my droopy eye, you dick.
Yeah. Guess what? He was wrong. Suck it, dude. Thank you. Suck it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I felt good. I didn't even know I needed to get that off my chest, but thank you. And that's the thing. People tell you session. Also, people are so mean, you know, for all the people who are wonderful and believe in you, but there's the detractors and there always are. And that's okay.
I know. And I'm embarrassed that that's what I thought about, but that's how it was just because it was so insane that it was.
Yeah, that was the perfect, that's a great story. I've told that story many times.
Yeah. You have to look back and think, what's wrong with that guy in his life for him to be able to have the nerve to say that that's so off.
Genuinely thought he was like trying to help me. You know what I mean? He was like, I think he genuinely thought he was trying to help me. I don't know. But I will say it's one of those when you realize how everything is completely, especially in this business, subjective. It's if one person who is in a position of power likes you, you get a shot. And if they don't, or if they know somebody else, that person's going to get shot. So it's so relationship based. And that's true with a lot of industries, things. But I think in particular,
but that's impressive that you have persevered and have been so successful and, you know, been willing to like shut that out and be like, oh my gosh, what an ass and move on and keep going. Cause that has to be hard. I don't know if I could have handled that. Getting criticism.
There were times that it was, you're putting yourself out there, right? Like this is a business where you're choosing to put yourself out there. And so you better be ready for what comes with that. That doesn't make it easy. We're all human beings all of the rest. But I
just for the record, I think your eyes are absolutely beautiful. What make you're unique and you're special and you're gorgeous.
Thank you. I love you. Do you want to be my agent?
And if you did that, I'd be pissed because if you've got them where they don't move and they're
don't
dare do anything.
You are hired as my agent officially. Thank you for believing me. Are you happy with the life path that you took?
The trajectory. Yes. Yes, I am. I think that's it was just fate and the way that everything was supposed to be. Yes, I am very happy with the way life has turned out. Yes. I mean, I would like, I now that I'm kind of done with the day-to-day momming, parenting, I would like to do something for, you know, keep moving with this and keep doing something for myself more. And I will say that. But I've loved what's happened so far. Yeah. I mean, I can't go back and change anything. So I embrace it and appreciate the good. So yeah.
I love that.
Thankful.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay. This is a really good one. And we'll just do a couple more before we wrap up. M. Canellos, are your moms living and what's the most impactful thing that you learned from them? Mm. I was thinking about this last night. Do you want to go first?
No.
Okay. I'll go first.
You go first.
So my mom is amazing. And I've met her. She is a special lady. And I have learned a lot of things from her. There are, I think I would put it in two categories. There's like I'll give this as an example. In college, she sent me this book called How to Be a Lady. I don't know why she thought that I needed to.
Did you not read it?
We read it as a group. And then it ended up, there was like beer that got spilled on it and it was stuck to our wall of our dorm room for our sophomore year. So I think, you know, just so we could always remember those lessons. How to be a lady. But I say that as a joke, but truly my mom taught me all of the things. I mean, it sounds so silly, but she is classy. She's classy as hell. And she understands the art of a thank you note. And she loves China and she loves hosting. And she wants to make sure that every holiday feels like a real holiday. And she goes above and beyond. I mean, to the point that both my older brother and I are kind of like, okay, we don't need all of these dishes and we don't need 16 different tablecloths and let's do less. We don't need like those versions of the string beans that are going to take 3 hours. We can just do these ones. But I have come to appreciate it in my old age because my kids absolutely, you know, she just, every holiday is special and everything. She takes a lot of care in making sure that things are special. So I do love how she is in terms of a host.
That's in a language of love. We talked about that.
Yes, it is.
That is. It's a form of just exactly she loves you and you're older now. So it's hard to be a parent with older kids. That's a way to love them is to take care of them. So
no, she does. We've hosted Thanksgiving the last couple of years and it would have never happened without her. She brings all the things and all the dishes and it's amazing. I think the other thing I learned from her as I maybe like the more sentimental part was, so she was a single mom. And she worked and went to school full time. And I just think that by virtue of me watching her as I grew up, as she was this incredibly fiercely independent woman. She was in, you know, relationships and had boyfriends and whatever, but she just always really did it on her own. And even to this day, she creates friend groups wherever she goes. And she just is always, she's for the most part, like a really happy person and enjoys fun and having fun and meeting people and connecting with people. So I think that is something that when I was struggling through my 20s and early 30s and not knowing what my path was going to be, and I'm living in my brother's basement as a 30-year-old, like, am I ever going to
am I doing this right? Yeah.
Get married? Yeah. This feels right. And then it also kind of doesn't feel right. Like, what am I? And I just always felt like if it's my path to be on my own, I will figure it out. I think I just sort You'll of inherently okay. knew that because I saw my mom do it. So that helped me not settle for, you know, anything that wasn't the right thing. And when Chris came along, it was clearly the right thing. And I feel very lucky and grateful. And then I also will say, sorry, I'll stop after this, but I have a lot more love and respect and appreciation for single parents than I ever would have, obviously, if I hadn't been, if I hadn't like been raised by my mom. There's so many things that you don't think about unless you've seen it through that lens of going to your kids' sporting events and doing pickup, and everything is around, like everything is set up for the family unit and couples. And I remember Collins, when we first took him to preschool, he had his locker next to this little girl, and every locker had the kid's name and then the parents' names, you know, like it was like the three little, like the mom and the dad and the little girl next to his locker. It was just, you know, it was just the mom's name. And every day I picked him up, I just thought, you know, I like want to give her a hug. Cause I'm like, I know it's not easy to do it on your own. And it feels, you were constantly reminded in many situations, especially throughout school, that you're alone. So mom, thank you for being a fiercely independent woman. And even though we've had our moments, as all mothers and daughters do, I would definitely not be who I am without her. So
question, when you were living in the basement of your brother's house, when you were 30, how did your mom feel about that? Did she give her opinion on that?
She was like, so excited that we were together because I had just moved from Indianapolis to San Francisco. Okay. Was when I got hired for the Pac-12.
Okay. So, calm down. You I had think a she was job. Happy. It's not like,
I had a job. Okay. Yeah. I moved there literally because for the job.
It wasn't like you were like crashing on his sofa with the,
exactly. I mean, I in some ways I sort of was, but
like, you were, but you had a
but
path.
I did have a job. But I stayed there maybe longer. I was there for 2 years. So shout out to you, Alex, and shout out to Diana. Yeah. I have not given a proper, probably shout out to my sister-in-law, Diana, who is the most that you'll meet her at some point. She is incredible. And she believed in me. Funny story. I sent an email to my family when I got a job in Washington, D.C. 10 years ago, 11 years ago, that I was about to, you know, I accepted it and was negotiating the contract and was flying out there. And she wrote back. I had interviewed with the Pac-12, but nothing ever really materialized. And she wrote back and just said, congrats, Ash. I'm still not giving up hope. I know you're coming to San Francisco. And I remember thinking like, You're so sweet.
Okay, but, whatever.
Well, lo and behold.
Wow.
She was exactly right. And I got a call from the Pac-12 the next day and it totally changed the trajectory of everything. So in any event, yes.
Wow.
To invite your sister-in-law to like come live with you.
Yeah.
You know,
to come, right.
She invited everybody.
At the time?
They had one. They had my niece and then they had just had her second. So
wow. She was that is nice.
She's got a big heart.
She was in it. And you got to see that. No, yes. So that's probably good.
I think pretty much everyone. I'm surprised that you haven't lived in their house because I think everyone has lived in their house at some point.
Hey,
so
it's not Christian still out there. Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, if Christian needs a spot, they've got a great setup.
Or me or Christian's mom.
Okay. I have talked way too long on this answer. It was a great question. What would you say you have learned from your mom?
Wow. I remember I was in high school and my mom, all of a sudden, having never worked, was like Joe 50s mom, you know, the stereotype, stayed at home, raised the kids, cooked, that whole thing. And, you know, that's kind of what I saw. It wasn't like you even questioned it. That was just what she did. I watched her all of a sudden take it upon herself to get involved in government, our local government. And she helped write a charter, which then enabled where we lived to incorporate and become a city. Because before, all of our tax money on this little island called Key Biscayne was basically going to Miami-Dade, which was kind of corrupt at the time. And they were just using our money for their resources and we weren't getting anything back. So she and a couple other people took it upon themselves to write a charter to incorporate Key Biscayne and it became a city. And now it's a thriving city with its own fire department, police department, school system. And it's like just like a little like slice of paradise there. And I think she was a huge part of that. And it's really cool. And so I like watched her start her life anew. Wow. A little bit. And I swear it like gave her confidence and she got stronger and stronger. And as a teenager watching this, it was very inspiring to see because prior to that, it wasn't, she was, you know, just like a mom. And I hate saying just a mom, but, I don't think I was a very difficult child and that I was the only one living in the house. I had other siblings that had left. They were older, but it was just me. And she was looking for something and she created this little, you know, charter and government. And it was really, really amazing to see, to watch that. And, because of that, that's offshoot. She has, like you said, right to this day, she's 85 and has a million friends everywhere she goes. And her friends are my age. It's the funny thing. And they're awesome. And I go down and hang out with them. And those are like her friends. And her friends, they love her. And it's so amazing to see. Like they text me, oh, your mom's, you know, dancing a conga line. And they'll send me a video and stuff. And, you know, she's created this incredible life down there. So it's been really neat. And she lives here half the year too, yeah, near us for part of the year when it's warm. And same thing, like she just moved in nearby and has this network of friends. I've lived here, what, like 21 years? And I have like three friends. She's got like a million friends already. So that's really neat to see. She's definitely, and I don't think she thinks she's as strong as she is. But she is really strong. It's like she has, I wish she had appreciated that about herself. But anyway, she does. It's been fun to watch her sort of evolve and like butterfly a little bit, come out of her own cocoon and butterfly. And that's pretty inspirational. And I appreciate that about her. And I love her.
That is a hell of an answer. And having met Betty, who is absolutely amazing, and I love her. And we actually re-recorded an interview with her back when we were in Denver that will be coming out at a later date, TBD. She was phenomenal and had so many great stories and all the things. But I think you're right. It's being able to watch someone sort of reinvent themselves and be able to, I mean, you do have to be really strong to be on your own and to navigate all these different things. And then you talk about what
she was married for. Like, 38 years and then got divorced. And, you know, she was scared to death. I know she was. I know she was scared to death, but she slowly got stronger and evolved and ended up having a second act of her life that was more incredible than anything before. And it was just really, really neat to see. And I was so happy for her that she had this life. She deserved it. She's like your mom. She was a very classy lady, beautiful in her own right and fun-loving, and she sort of found those qualities in herself and they sort of like came out and evolved like the butterfly effect. So anyway.
So for anyone listening who does not love the phase of their life that they are in, for whatever reason, the road is long and there's a reinventing that can happen because we've all seen it. And that's, Betty's the best. Shout out to Big Mama. Okay. It's going to be hard for me to pick like one or two more, but we'll try and wrap this thing up. The last one, second to last one. there's a few 49ers ones. So how about I'll read a couple of these. It's from the same person.
CMC super fan.
CMC super fan,
who's my new best friend. I like that question.
And you can answer both or one. Lisa, it's really cool watching Brock Purdy's parents and family support him. He was a big star in college and now has a big spotlight in the NFL. What advice would you give his family?
Ooh.
And then the second one is, Lisa, who is the most annoying teammate mom?
Oh, God. Oh, wow. How long do we have? No, I'm kidding. Joking. I have had the absolute pleasure of meeting Brock Purdy's family the last couple weeks, and I love them. I absolutely love them. I adore them. I honestly, they are doing it right. They are embracing it. I watch them. They are just, it's just such excitement watching them watch their son. And I feed off them. They make me appreciate where we are even more. So aww. No, I don't have one piece of advice, because whatever they're doing, they are doing it right and spot on. And I know I haven't met Brock himself, but Christian absolutely loves him. The guy's a warrior. He is so focused. I cannot believe his age, his story, and where he's come from, but it is just so inspiring. And my gosh, if he's not an inspiration to all those guys out there playing football, I don't know who is. But oh, and his family is, oh my gosh, I got to meet all of them. We talked a lot after the game last week, and they are just so excited, so positive, and so happy. My favorite story about them, and I got this off the media, is that they had bought tickets at the beginning of the season to come out to watch the 49ers play Tampa Bay because they wanted to watch Tom Brady play. And that was the game that he started. Brock ended up starting.
That's
and
right.
They beat Tampa Bay. Like,
I just got chills. It is incredible, and it is unbelievable to watch. At some point, he's going to lose a game, but maybe not. You know,
no.
Ever again in his career. I mean, he's doing something that nobody's ever done.
Please.
Yeah, not this year.
And it's
not this year.
And it's just, I love just watching it play out. I have zero advice for them because they are doing it right. I love that. It's so,
and you can tell they're soaking it in. I'm sure it's a lot.
They really are. In that game, you see they pan to his dad, and his dad's crying. And it was just, I started crying. It was so emotional. It was, I mean, my gosh, what a dream. And it's so fun. I mean, I can't wait for the book to come out.
Amen. It's going to be called Mr. Irrelevant, because, by the way, he was the last pick in the draft, which they call Mr. Irrelevant. And I think it's going to completely reinvent that pick. Like, I can't wait. Whoever's going to be Mr. Irrelevant is.
Oh, next year. Pressure's on for him.
Pressure's on. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. This is the very last one. And we can, I guess, end on a good note. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what they're talking about. Lisa, did you see Skip Bayless's tweet about Christian?
Oh Lord. Who is Skip Bayless, first off?
I don't even know if I pronounced that name right. It might be Skype. Well,
I did. Bayless? I don't want to say a lot about that tweet. All I'm going to say is, first off, I'll say two things. Number one, Christian doesn't go up against, Pollard. Pollard's an
actually,
incredible
here, let
player.
Me give you some context really quick.
Okay,
because
why
there may be some
the
people who actually didn't see the tweet. So for some context, the Niners played Dallas on Sunday in the divisional round of the playoffs. The running back for the Cowboys is Tony Pollard.
The running back for the Niners is
Christian McCaffrey, Lisa's son. And the tweet and that Skip Mitchell. Bayless put out this week is, as great as Christian McCaffrey has been, I'll still take Tony Pollard, just a little more explosive.
Yeah.
Skip is known as the guy who likes to send
jabroni. He's the jabroni, which a jabroni is somebody that it's like a hockey player that you throw out on the ice just to fight. That's what his job is. So he's not a true journalist. First of all, he's not a true journalist because he spelled Christian's name wrong. Like, let's go back to basics here.
If you're going to take a shot, you better spell the name right.
Spell his name correctly. Yeah, that's all. After I read that, saw the spelling wrong, you know, I'm like, okay, I can't take any credence to what this guy says. So anyway, Shannon, all I can say is I'm always on your side. I love Shannon Sharp. That's who they always spar against. And yeah, Ed played Shannon, and Shannon is amazing. So
okay, so there you have it. And the only thing that I will add to that is
get my son's name out of your mouth. Unless you spell it right.
Or if you are, then at least spell it right.
At least, exactly.
The only context that I will add from my perspective, Skip, is that I thank you for that tweet, because I feel like he's just like adding fuel to the fire. And I saw the game that Christian McCaffrey had when he did not win the Heisman, and the Heisman voters in 2015 decided to go with somebody else. And I saw the game that he played in the Rose Bowl against Iowa not too long after that. And all I kept thinking about is, boy, the Heisman voters owe Iowa a like a letter of apology, because this guy is turned it up more notches than he normally does. So in any event, Tony Pollard's
a great
player.
Thank you, Skip, for that.
Thank you, Skip, for adding the fuel to the fire. And we will see how it all plays out. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
You
manifest a win.
Let's manifest a win right now.
You have to do it.
Niners are moving on. Let's do it. I'm telling you, I really was envisioning Christian having these like big runs in the rain before the game. And when he broke off that 68-yard run early on, I was like, okay.
Yeah, right, that was fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So just visualization.
Hey, can I just say one thing that was amazing that day? So all week I was checking the weather every second of the day. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's going to rain. Freaking out, because the rain could neutralize a game, you know, and that's always just hard. So I was nervous. Plus I was worried about what I should wear, you know, priorities.
Obviously.
Before the game, we go down and give our hug, and it starts to pour. Ruin my hair, who cares? But it started to pour, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to be such a long day. All of a sudden, the game, they kick off, the rain subsided, and it didn't rain like teeny tiny drizzles here and there, but for the most part, didn't rain the whole game. And the minute the game stopped, downpour. It was so bizarre. Because all week, that's all I was stressed about.
And
was
the
rain
has been insane in the Bay Area. It has been
every time we've gone out there to visit, it's been rainy. It's been so odd. Because when I was in college out there, it was a drought. So this is very unusual. But
no, it is.
Anyway, but you're out of a drought now, which is good. So that's good.
Yeah. Officially. We are that. Anyway. My basement.
Weather.
Is holding all the water for the state of California. So don't we need to worry about droughts anymore. If you need water, just come to my house.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Pump it right
out. Fill up my water bottles straight from the airport. My little water bottles, my refill ones, because I care about the environment.
You are so good at caring for the environment. It's one of the things I love about you.
A lot of people say that about me.
Yeah, that's been one of your main, that's what people are, you're going to be remembered for that, for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
The way that you fill the water bottles up in my basement, I think is definitely. Okay.
Anyway.
Good. I'm excited for the game this weekend. Thank you, everyone, for these awesome questions. We'll do that. We should mix in a mailbag every now and then, because this was...
I think so.
This was a great way to get some different topics involved. And it really had me thinking. I was honestly thinking when I went to bed last night about what I have learned from my mom. And I'm going to give one shout out to my bonus mom, my stepmom, Lee, who I have learned a ton from as well. Yeah, I've been lucky to have two amazing moms, multiple amazing moms, and now my mother-in-law in my life. She taught me and continues to teach me that she has never, ever wanted what anyone else has had. Like, she is someone who so happy.
Yeah.
It is a gift.
Yeah.
Who
it's
is just so happy with her life, appreciates what she has, and is never, ever wishing that she had what somebody else had. And that is a huge lesson. So thank you, Lee. All right, Lisa, I love you. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
And we'll revisit that tweet some other time. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Check us out on YouTube. We appreciate
call
you guys.
Call
your mom. Call a mom. Tell her you love her. Tell her
mom.
What you learned from her. That's going to be my charge to you.
Yeah.
Call any mom that you know that you've learned something from.
And ask if they've learned anything about you too.
Yeah.
Mom's always good at those type of things.
Moms are always good about those types of things.
Usually.
And I'm just gonna smile the rest of the day thinking about Christian walking up to get his award. Just standing there. Poor kid.
It was
He's the best.
Oh, good.
I love you, Lisa.
Love you too. Have a great week. I'll see you soon. Peace.
Bye.